you have your Bible today, I'm only going to be a few moments. I want you to look in Daniel chapter 1. I want to talk to you. And I wasn't going to start this till next week, but I'm just going to give you a little jump start on this. This is a word that came to me, decisions, and I've been thinking about this and pondering it. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all things may abound in every good work. This will be, for some of you, a year of abounding. But the word decision has come to me in a powerful way, and it means a conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. That's powerful. A conclusion or resolution reached after consideration. I'm not big on resolutions. I'm big on goal setting and dreams and desires. I think that you do need to do that. But, you know, sometimes when people say, well, I'm going to have these resolutions, they're so 8% has been studied that 8% of the resolutions that are made are kept. But when you have a dream, when you come to a decision, when you make a conclusion reached after consideration, then things begin to change. And you need to have God's power in your life to go through with it. John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So God's given you and I the power to make a decision, because your decisions determine your destiny. And sometimes we can make hasty decisions, emotional decisions in a moment. And believers in Christ need to have the witness of the Holy Spirit working inside of us when we make those decisions. Don't make them hastily. And if it's, listen, if you can't find your decision in the Word of God, you better run from that decision, because it's going to bring you heartache. It's going to bring you hurt. And sometimes we make decisions with a very short view. I'm going to use two phrases that are going to ring through this. This is something that God dropped in my heart from an experience that I had a couple weeks ago, that somebody was acting out of way. And what the Lord just spoke to me in the middle of that, he said, they don't have a long view of what they're doing right now. And sometimes we make decisions with a short view of what can happen. But I want to give you just a couple thoughts. I'm just going to be a moment on this for you to consider this week, this month, that will help you this year and the years to come. So, number one, we have to make a decision to live with purpose in our heart. We have to have a long view of the decisions that we make with a purpose. And I told you to turn to Daniel in chapter 1 and verse 8. He said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chef of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Because Daniel had a long view, and a long view will cause you to live your life at a higher level. Daniel knew that he could not, and that God did not call him to defile his life like that. The things that he had to make decisions on would come to him, and they wouldn't always be comfortable. But when we live with this long view in our lives, we see differently. We approach things differently. And we know that the decisions that we make are just bigger than who we are. And that's what I want to encourage you as well, too. Don't make decisions and resolutions just based on you. Well, Lord, do this for me. Do that for me. Make them with a long view. I wish I could have had my children at the age that I am now, that I would have had a better depth in raising them when they were young. Thank God that they've all turned out really wonderful, and I love my boys, but I could have had such a better influence on who they were at the time. I would have had other mentors in my life helping me with that, and I'm gonna talk to you about that in a minute. And maybe you're here today, and you're really hurt, and you're feeling down because of some of the decisions you made. You're finding yourself in a place in your life where you're reaping some of what you sowed. I want to tell you today that the grace of God tells you it's a new day. Lift up your head. Look unto him. He will help you into your future. And also, we have to make decisions to live with discipline in our lives. Listen to this. Discipline means to do something in a controlled and in a habitual way. Discipline. And a lot of people, that's a dirty word. But God is asking you and I if there's areas in our lives where we have no discipline in them. In Daniel chapter 1 of verse 12, when everyone else was eating and being merry, Daniel said, "Give me the veggies and the water." I should have done that last night instead of eating those crab cakes and those stuffed mushrooms with cream cheese and bacon in them. Whoa, thank you, God. I should have said, "Where's the veggies?" Discipline in our lives is very important, in our spiritual life as well. And sometimes we want to use the grace of God in a nasty and a dirty way to cover up areas of our lives that have no discipline. Here's the verse of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 9:25. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize, a long view. And when discipline is a part of your life, it will yield great results, not only in your life, but in the lives of your family, in the lives of your children, and the people that are around you. And sometimes people struggle with this. You know, some of the simplest things. So I'm meeting men, I call them young men in their 40s and 50s, that still can't show up to work on time. You need discipline in your life. I don't care if you got to set up 12 alarm clocks. Do it. Get up. Get going. Get to work 10 minutes early. You can be the best employee. You'll get the most promotions, raises, whatever, if you are the first one at work every day. I should hear some amens in here somewhere. And you know what? I just got to slip this in because I'm the pastor. Start on Sunday being on time for the house of God. Amen. Don't come in. Don't be the last guy. Well, I didn't like that song that he sang last week. And if he sings it again, I'm coming in at 25 after when it's all. That's not a long view. That's a short view. And you need that influence in your life. You also need to make the decision to have great friends in your life. In chapters 2 and 3 in Daniel, the story is told that when Daniel was promoted, his other three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, were set over the affairs of the kings of the province of Babylon. And when the decree went out at a certain time of the day and everyone was supposed to bow, they said no, they would not bow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were friends. They were buddies. They drank Starbucks together. They hung out together. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, they answered the king. They said, we're not even going to answer you in this matter. And I love what they say. They said, the God in whom we serve is able to deliver us, because he was threatening them. If you don't do this, you're going in the fiery furnace. And they said to him, hey, the God that we serve is able to deliver us out of that. And even if he doesn't, even if we've got to go into the furnace. And some of you need to hear that today. You need to make decisions in your life that are not popular and are not culturally relevant and forget about the fallout. Because if God is with us, he'll help us in when things are good and when we're facing the furnace. He said, we don't serve your gods. We will not worship that golden image which you set up. Well, you know the story. The king got torqued off. The Bible says he cranked up the furnace 7 times hotter, and he told the people, some of his closest men, to throw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And the Bible says that when they went to throw them in, that the people that put them in the furnace perished because the heat was so hot. But I love the end of the story. The Bible says when Nebuchadnezzar looked, he peeked into the furnace. He said, wait a minute. Didn't we throw 3 men in that furnace? I see 4 men. They're up walking around in there. I got dead men laying outside that I had thrown in there. But the guys that said they wouldn't stand up, they wouldn't bow against the image that I said, they're in there walking around. There's not only 3, but there's a 4th dude in there, and he looks like the face of the Son of the Living God. When you hang around the right people in your life, it will bring the blessing. It will bring the life of God into your life. Come on, you ought to be thankful about that today. You've got to stand for what is right. You can't give in to the culturally relevant thing. I'm not telling you to be mean. I'm not telling you to be nasty. But I am telling you that when someone says you have to do this, if it's not in here, you don't have to do it. Stand and watch and see the salvation of your God. You got to have great friends. You got to have a long view concerning the friendships in your life. I love quotes. And I just thought, I want to write down some quotes about friendships. Here's one: a true friend never gets in your way unless you happen to be going down. A friend is a gift you give yourself. You may be one person in this world, but to one person, you may mean the world. Isn't that beautiful? My best friend is the one who brings out the best in me. Walking with a friend in the dark is better than walking alone in the light. A real friend is one who walks in when the rest of the world walks out. I love that quote. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. And then I love these next two by the great prophet Winnie the Pooh. Listen, these are so good. If ever there is a tomorrow when we're not together, there is something you must always remember. You are braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, smarter than you think. But the most important thing is, even if we're apart, I'll always be with you. Isn't that nice? And then this is the best here. If you live to be 100, honey, this is for you. If you live to be 100, I hope I live to be 100 minus one day so I never have to live without you. Come on today. 2 Corinthians 6:14, stop forming inappropriate relationships with unbelievers. Can right and wrong be partners? Can light have anything common with darkness? No, he's not telling you not to have friends that are unbelievers, but sometimes we take that to a whole nother level. Come on. If your boyfriend and your girlfriend says, I just don't believe the way you do, you got to get a new boyfriend and a new girlfriend. Hello, you can't hook up because he looks like GQ or she walked out of some beautiful boutique smelling good. You watch them smelling good people, they'll get you in trouble. Number four, make a decision to serve. Listen, the wait is over. Mark 10, yet it shall not be among you, but whoever desires to become great shall be your servant. Whoever of you desires to be first shall be a slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus humbled himself, took on the very nature of a servant, and he modeled the way of the kingdom of God to us. We need to make that decision in our lives. We need to make the decision to live in unity with each other. This is a big one. God's authority and his blessing flows as we work together in unity, not apart. Colossians 3:13, bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. John 17:23, I and them, you and me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. We got to have unity. We got to work on that today. Come on, some of you. Some people in my life, I've learned that they have the propensity just to want to be argumentative. Now, I know you've never met anybody like that. A couple have run across my life like that. Here's the last one. Make the decision to live a life of generosity. Munificent, magnanimous. It means a noble and a generous spirit. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 8 says, a generous man devises generous things, and by generosity he shall stand. Are you standing in a generous place today? Are you generous with the people around you? Do you think and plan and do you speak and do you set your life up? Do you wake up in the morning thinking, who can I bless today? I get up every day. I think, God, who are you going to put in my path? What can I do to make somebody's life better within my power, God, today? Maybe I can't buy him a house, but maybe I can buy them coffee. Maybe I can bless them. Maybe I can fill up their gas tank. Maybe I can do something. Maybe I can just give somebody a hug or a handshake or just encourage somebody with a generous heart. When you have a generous heart, you have a great attitude towards life. Proverbs 11:24-25 out of the Message, the world of the generous gets larger and larger. The world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are help. Can you believe that? Proverbs 22:9, he who is generous will be blessed, for he gives some of his food to the poor. 1 Timothy 6:18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous, and to be ready to share at all times. Come on, let's make some decisions to have purpose, discipline, great friends, be servants, live in unity, and have a generous life. Come on, can you clap your hands for Jesus today? This will be a week in your life where you can come into the house of God. And, you know, if you live farther and you just can't come, just make some time even at home. But there's just something. You come into this sanctuary and the atmosphere is set. People have been in here praying. Things happen in your heart and your life just when you make that decision to come. And you know something? God, he sees that in your life as well. When you set apart that time, when you go out of your way, you say, I'm coming, God. I'm gonna come to your house. Let him help you make some decisions in your life this week that will help you with the long view. Everybody say long view. Say that again. Say long view. Some of you, you may be in your 50s, 60s, or 70s, or even 80s, and you're thinking, well, I don't have a long view. Oh, yes, you do. Oh, yes, you do. So I'm 61, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going over this, and I'm thinking, I wish I would have done some of these things when I was younger. I wish I could have done more of this. I wish I could have done this. But here's the reality of it. Maybe I don't have that time now, but the time that I do have, and I do this all the time, I'm a multitasker. I'm a plate spinner. I can do more now in a day than I used to be able to do in a month. I can get more done in a day now than I could in a month. And not only for me, but I've got a long view. I've got 5 grandchildren that I'm praying for every day. I'm speaking into their lives when they're nowhere around. I'm praying that the right person will come into their lives and the wrong person will stay out. I'm believing God for your kids. I'm praying for your children. Listen, we didn't buy a gymnasium just so we could have another place to take care of. We build it so when our kids are over there playing, we'd have parents and grandparents on the side. And they'd be praying, God bless them, keep them. Lord, let them know how much you love them. Lord, give them a hunger for your word and a hunger to be in your presence and a hunger to pray. Let's have influence on our generations that are yet to come. And do it for his glory. Come on, one more hand clap to Jesus today. Prayer people, come on down. I'm going to close in prayer today and just believe God to do something great in our hearts and in our lives today and trust him in a powerful way in your life. Let him have his perfect will and his perfect way in your lives. Aaron, I want you to come up here and I want you to close. Thank you, Jesus. Just bow your heads. If you never gave your heart to Christ, do that today. Give your life to him. Right where you're at today, say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Take it over, Lord. I've tried long enough on my own. I can't do it anymore. Ask him to do that. If you're not sure, come down. Aaron's going to close in prayer. Your head's bowed. Your eyes are still closed. Come down. Tell somebody, I need Christ in my life. This is the first day of the year. Why enter into that? Having the struggles that you've been struggling. Some of you, the physical things that you're dealing with are a direct result because you have never given your life to Christ. The Bible says, I am the God that healeth thee. He wants to change your future. He wants to change your life. He wants to help you with your decisions. Erin, go ahead, honey. Close.
God, we just thank you for your word today. I just ask for strength and wisdom to make those decisions that we need to make. We thank you for a brand new year, a brand new start, God, in every one of our lives. And I just ask that this week, as we begin to seek your face, seek into your word, God, that you give us those answers. You give us clarity, God, in the direction that you would like us to go. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything, come.